Micah chapter 5. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, "Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod." God is warning that Jerusalem will be attacked and defeated, and her king taken away to Babylon, which is exactly what happened in 586 BC. Verse 2, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." And so in contrast to the horrible news of their imminent defeat, Micah shifts gears and looks long-term down into the future and predicts the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, in Bethlehem. 3. "Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites." The Gentile world powers will harass Israel until the Messiah is born. Through the Messiah, Jesus Christ, God will bring together from all the nations of the world those whom he will add to true Israel, that is, spiritual Israel, in other words, the Church of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, "He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth." David was a good king in Israel, but the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is light years ahead of him. And Micah predicts that the Messiah will care for and protect his people with the strength of God. Verse 5, "And he will be their peace. When the Assyrians invade our land and marches through our fortresses, we will raise against him 7 shepherds, even 8 leaders of men. They will rule the land of Assyria with the sword, the land of Nimrod with drawn sword. He will deliver us from the Assyrian when he invades our land and marches into our borders." The Assyrians here are actually a picture of all the enemies of God's people in every age. Jesus will protect his people from anyone or anything who would try to remove them from his kingdom. We have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his, God's dear Son, the Bible says, and the Bible also says that no one can snatch us out of his hands. Verse 7, "The remnant of Jacob will be in the midst of many peoples, like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass, which do not wait for man or linger for mankind." And so the true Israel, spiritual Israel, the church, the Bible says here, will be among many nations, and they will be like dew and showers on the grass. And I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty refreshing to me. And that's the point. God is trying to make the point that Christians will be refreshing and will provide life-giving power, spiritual power, as they live for Jesus and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in all the different nations of the world. Verse 8, "The remnant of Jacob will be among the nations in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among flocks of sheep, which mauls and mangles as it goes, and no one can rescue." And this pictures the progress of the church. Jesus will cause his church to triumph over all evil. And it certainly is a bumpy road at times that we are on as Christians, but it's good to remember that it is a road that leads to victory in the end. Victory over sin, victory over death. Verse 9, "Your hand will be lifted up in triumph over your enemies, and all your foes will be destroyed." The church is persecuted when it is holy. The church has enemies when it is holy. But in the end, God will make sure that the righteous will triumph over the wicked. Verse 10, in that day, declares the Lord, I will destroy your horses from among you and demolish your chariots. Horses and chariots were things that people put their confidence in back in those days. God says, I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to destroy that confidence, is what he is saying. Verse 11, I will destroy the cities of your land and tear down all your strongholds. And these are things that people took pride in. He's saying, I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to destroy your worldly confidences. I'm going to destroy the things that you take pride in, that you think are so important, that make you so worthwhile. Verse 12, I will destroy your witchcraft, and you will no longer cast spells. And of course, during Israel's backsliding days, they relied on sorcery and magic and the occult. God says, I'm going to destroy that from among my people. 13, I will destroy your carved images and your sacred stones from among you. You will no longer bow down to the work of your hands. And of course, Israel also looked to false gods for protection and to meet their needs. God says, it's not going to happen. Not anymore. I'm getting rid of all that stuff. 14, I will uproot from among you your Asherah poles and demolish your cities. And so all these things that he has mentioned here point to the fact that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will turn the hearts of his people away from the things of this world, which do not satisfy, which do not work, and will turn their hearts instead to him. 15, I will take vengeance in anger and wrath upon the nations that have not obeyed me. And so God will bless his people by making Jesus Christ their confidence, and God will punish forever those who refuse his forgiveness and refuse to accept the lordship of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Next time, chapter 6. Until then, so long, everyone.